listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Welcome, everyone, to the Spirit of Life live broadcast for Wednesday, November 11th, 2015. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here again tonight.
And tonight, we're going to talk about yet additional mindful expanding topics, which we'll get to in just a few minutes. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical topics, spiritual counseling, holistic life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and several other areas, and Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at tfuniversity.org. Before we get into our main program, I want to read our abbreviated principles of belief of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. The expanded discussion of these principles is available at metaphysicalhumanism.org. There are 9 principles. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. Number 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, for an expanded discussion of these principles, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. And I also want to welcome everyone who's listening to this live broadcast, as well as those listening to the archives. We also have Michael Kelly helping us produce the show behind the scenes. So tonight, of course, if you're in the chat room and you have any questions, you're more than welcome to ask them or make statements or whatever. We will address those if they're posted. So tonight, we're going to start out with card number 35 from our Inner Oracle card deck. And again, if you're new to this, we have a Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card deck, 54 cards in several suits. And they basically have a card face value, and they reflect the teachings of metaphysical humanism, and they're pretty powerful. So they're designed to help us to think, to provoke us to thought, disturb us to action, perhaps. So, Dr. Hunter, do you have card number 35?
I certainly do. And that happens to be one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. And I'm going to read from our little guidebook exactly what the little write-up is. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness and spiritual development, and enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance, very important word, tolerance and equality toward others as well as ourself. And the self, don't forget. Remember, you are of divine energy. That's a really loaded you know, card meaning in there. I mean, it just addresses all the things that, you know, we're all working toward a better and improved progressive planet. And tolerance and equality is just so critical to that.
It is, you know, and all you have to do is look to what the headlines are showing at any given time to see instances of intolerance, of racism, prejudice, bias, and all that stuff. In fact, one of the current things in the news is in the University of Missouri here in the States. And, you know, they've got problems with, well, with race and different things. The CEO, the different heads, several different heads of professors have stepped down because of it. And apparently they've had this problem for decades. And then you've got people threatening to come in and kill blacks and things like that. And, you know, you look at this and you just have to shake your head. It's just like, really? In this day and age, in this 21st century, we're still dealing with race issues. And so I want to comment a couple of things because there's no room for that left in our society. It should not be there. You know, in fact, just get rid of the word race. We're all one race, the human race. There are not different races. There's one race, us, the human race. There's different ethnicities, different histories, different heritages, and so forth, but we're still all human. And those people who are prejudiced, who think that somehow other ethnicities are lesser than they are, frankly, are stupid. They're unaware, they're uneducated, and they lack higher thinking skills. And that goes for whether they just dislike another person's color of skin or whether there's religious differences. It doesn't matter. Anybody who participates in intolerance is stupid, is unenlightened, is unaware, and is barbaric. That's what that is. It's savage. It's from our savage history. We need to stop this. And that leads us into even some more subtler areas. Perhaps we harbor some subtle prejudices, and almost everybody does to one extent or another. And we need to address those. So maybe we're not an outright, quote, racist, unquote. But what forms of judgmentalism do we have? Do we judge other people based on their ethnicity or the color of their skin or whatever? The fact is that you can find both smart and dumb people in any ethnicity, with any skin color. You know, people are people. You know, you remove the skin and everybody's the same. So, I mean, we've heard this a dozen times, but what types of judgments are we making, if any? And if they're there, we've got to work at releasing those. And I'll tell you, if you came from a Christian background or any major religion, even Islam, you probably deal with judgmentalism. I know I have for a long time, and it takes a lot of work to just process it out, to get rid of it. The fact is that people are people, and people will do beautiful, remarkable things in the world. And then there are a few people who do some pretty stupid things. And it has nothing to do with the color of their skin or where they grew up. People are people. So we have to remember, we are one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. We're people. And we all have a sacred obligation to evolve, to grow, to be better tomorrow than we were yesterday.
You know, it's very interesting that babies are not born prejudiced. You know, Tracy just mentioned something in the chat. It's programmed from childhood. But no baby is actually born prejudiced in that way. It is ingrained in childhood. It's in the environment. It's through, you know, silly innuendo or jokes or, you know, people making ridiculous comments, whether they mean it or not. That's the unawareness. And even if somebody is not meaning to be racist, not meaning to be prejudiced, it comes out in the subtlest of ways. You know, I knew an elderly woman years ago who was, you know, she's well in her 80s and still working, and she had mentioned how the company she worked for had got a new manager. And, you know, bless her heart, she says, you know, I have nothing against colored people. This girl is very smart.
Yeah.
And she had no idea that what she had done was make a racist comment. It's the fact that she would even bring up someone's race means that there is an element of division, that there's the them and us and those people and these people. And it's a little innuendo. This is where we all have to, like, wake up. You know, what are those little nursery rhymes or the little storytelling and things that come from way early in life? Stop and think about those things for a minute and make yourself more aware of what you're saying. The smallest things is what children hear. So, you know, it just, and of course there are the extremists. There's no question. You know, we do have really pretty profoundly organized groups like the KKK, which are extreme. Yeah. You know, you've got very extreme other religious groups, but I think in everyday life, I think in everyone's average everyday life, there are the subtleties that make all the difference in the world. It's not funny to make a racist joke. It's not funny to poke fun at another culture in that way publicly. You know, we can all have our own opinions that we don't like certain behaviors of certain cultures, but really to start beaking off, it just remember who's hearing this. You know, there are other people hearing this, and it hurts people. It hurts their feelings, and it really plants negative seeds in children.
You know, so, several decades ago. Go ahead.
No, I was going to move on to the next question that Zach was mentioning, but you go ahead.
Several decades ago, my mother-in-law at the time used the term colored. You know, he was a colored guy. I said, oh, really? What color was he? She just said black, and she didn't even think about it. I mean, it was just, to her, in her mind, there was no, quote, racism intended. No. That's what she had grown up with. And so that's one of the subtle points there is in we have to do some inner introspection. Look, you know, what are we doing that basically separates people based on their ethnicity or the color of their skin? And we have to try to process those out, get rid of them. And it's the work in progress for all of us. We do that. We have to do that because we are one planet and we will never evolve as a species if we don't get rid of this stupid, ridiculous racism and prejudice and bias based on ethnicity or based on color of skin. All right,
you know, I know our students don't know this, and you know, I've never talked about it openly through the school, but I do have a mixed family. I am a mixed family, and we have encountered all kinds of stuff, from being refused apartment buildings to being ridiculed in a shoe department. And it's not until, you know, they get older that they really experience that, because what I would do, and I have counseled many other mixed families, is never mind about that. You know, I would just shrug my shoulders and, you know, I mean, there was even a police officer who called my daughter a nigger one day. And this is in our lifetime, folk, and this happens to be in Canada. So it's everywhere. And you just have to say to the kids and to other people, never mind about them. They don't know what they're doing. They're ignorant. You be bigger than that. You smile, keep your head high, and keep moving forward. Don't harbor anger. In those ways, I know it angers us when this happens, but to display anger only feeds the anger. What we can do is stop, say that's wrong, that will not be tolerated, and educate people. And that's what we're doing here tonight, planting little seeds, bringing it to the open. We're talking about it, we're having a discussion, and we educate each other, but even in the smallest of ways. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Good.
You know,
and before we go on to Zach's question, though, I would like to entertain another question in the chat room.
Okay.
Norm, do you think organized religion is one of the major causes of prejudice? And I can answer that with one word, and the answer is absolutely. It's where a lot of it comes from, because if you're not part of our faith, our religion, you're damned. You're not accepted. God doesn't love you. Blah, blah, blah. So.
Well, you know, and that just leads us a good segue into Zach's question of why do people feel the call for certain types of religious pilgrimages. And they can be spiritual also. But, you know, they want to go to a monastery, travel to Tibet, or, you know, and those are kind of Zach's train of thinking. And I'll get to that in a second. But a lot of people go on this missionary work to save the people of whatever country. You know, they're all in this missionary work because there's a righteousness. It's not just about sending medical aid to people in need. They really do believe that they have the path to God. And without them, that the whole world is going to fail. So they go on this missionary work. And I tell you, it really does kind of raise my eyebrows and make me cough and sputter for a minute. Because there's so many people right here, down the street, in our communities, that need food, need shelter, need clothing, need help, that not of the biblical kind or other kind. They just need to be treated like good, honest, wonderful human beings that they are, that just may need a step up. And to care for the mentally ill and people who can't care for themselves. And I could go on and on about that. But people always want to go over there to help those folks. People don't like confrontation, remember. They go over there. They don't necessarily want to get too close to the pain and the agony and the discomfort. They want to go over there. So people have that call to go over there. And, of course, then their church pays for it. And they can all say they did all that good religious work over there. And I just challenge each and every one of them to get busy right here. Wherever you are, do the work in your community, in your neighborhood. That's how we're going to keep improving. The spiritual retreats, the spiritual, yeah. That's a connection. This is the thing about one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. We all want to feel connected. We all want to feel like we're a part of a family. We're social beings. We want to feel like we're somehow spiritually and universally embracing each other. We want that. The brain gets in the way. Belief systems get in the way, and people start developing these little cults. You know, it's like this group and that group, and we divide ourselves through these belief systems instead of looking at what's the common thread among all humanity. And that's what we're talking here, is what's the common thread. I don't begrudge people who want to go on a spiritual retreat. I think, you know, you can, you know, get a lot from that. I mean, there's that connectedness, that sharing ideas and finding a little community for yourself, elevating. That's a great thing. But when you make it tight and small and narrow it down, that's when we've got a bit of an issue, I think, because now we are really minimizing ourselves when the intent was to expand. I know you have something to say about that for sure, Dr. Kelly.
Yeah, let's, you know, spiritual retreats are fine. I mean, it depends on what you want to do. And does it have to be overseas? Not necessarily, not at all. You know, there are different things like vision quests. There are sweat lodges and things like that, things that people do to try to get into a different frame of mind, if you will, some even the altered states. So spiritual retreats, fine. I mean, I went on a little spiritual retreat of my own many, many years ago, and I wrote Empowered Recovery, developed all the concepts for empoweredrecovery.com, which is our program to help the family and friends of alcoholics and addicts deal with the relationship. And it was great. And I threatened to do it several other times, just haven't really done it yet. But there's something to be said with getting into a different surrounding, you know, to get the old creative juices flowing. And I did that, you know, around a campfire at a KOA campground. You know, I mean, that's where I spent time writing and thinking, and it was nice. I enjoyed it. And then there are vision quests that you can do, and you can look all that stuff up online if you don't know what they are. But there's another thing, another aspect of this, though, that you want to be careful of, and that is those people who spend time constantly searching to find themselves everywhere other than where they actually are, which is within. And, you know, I had a friend several years ago. He's from UK. He'd been lived in several different countries. He was then at the time in the States. He might still be. I haven't talked to him in a while. But and a nice guy, you know, but he was searching everywhere to find himself except for the very place that he needed to look, and that was within. And so we can get confused, or we can become almost blind, if it, as it were, when we don't understand that you got to look within. And if you want to go somewhere, Sedona or wherever is good for you, that's fine. But don't forget that the only place you're going to find yourself is within. That's the place.
Well, it's like, as I said, as long as it's elevating, you find that community, you're learning, you're growing, and you're elevating yourself. This is when I fully support. I love Sedona. I mean, that place just calls to me. I think there's something to be said for a spiritual memory or universal memory where we don't want to get into that topic necessarily tonight, but I'd like to throw it out there that sometimes we are connected in other ways, in other realms, if you will, or other levels of consciousness that calls us to a place or calls us to many places. And sometimes you just got to go there to fulfill that feeling or that sense, you know, of going. So I think in these ways it's exciting to go.
And to wrap up this little discussion, then we'll go on to another card. Dr. Dan in the chat says exactly, you don't need to hop a plane and fly 14 hours stuffed in the 777. You can just be still. Just be still and listen. And that is true. You know, it's a little bit about meditation, mindfulness meditation. Just be still. Be quiet. Let the atmosphere around you settle. Listen. Listen to what your thoughts are saying. So let's do another card.
All right. I have them right here. They're falling all over the place. Self-completeness, number 8, balance and order. Oh, Love that one. Balance and order. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. You know, and I'd like to take that right into the planet. You know, we were talking about a moment ago. It's out of order. You know, all the things we've been discussing here, you know, we need balance and order. That begins with the individual, each one of us putting ourselves in order. And if we're out of order, then we have to look deep inside to see how we can create, you know, some kind of new sense of order and prioritize ourselves and, you know, find out what, you know, again, we talked about this last week, you know, what's our sense of purpose or value in that. But balance and order, that's exactly, we're out of balance and we're out of order in the big collective. But the only way we can set that straight is one individual at a time, and it's ourselves. You know, you were just saying a moment ago, be still and look within. That's exactly how we begin to restore balance and order.
And we talked a lot about this last week and previous weeks, so let you go back to those archives and listen to that discussion. Let's do another card.
Well, we talk about how so many things keep repeating, but here's one we haven't had for quite some time. Gains, number 27.
Cool.
That is an interesting card. And this is what our little guidebook says. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains. Now, there's nothing wrong with gains. There's nothing wrong with wanting, you know, good things for yourself and wanting to have nice things even around you, things that are beautiful and, you know, stimulating and that's exciting. But when we get into denying certain things that need to be changed in order to keep what we already have, that's when we get into a little bit of trouble, I think. Would you agree, Dr. Kelly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the card, the guidebook talks about trade-offs, and when we're looking at decisions, you know, or goals even. You know, what do I need to trade in order to achieve this goal? What do I need to do to trade in order to get this solution to a problem? And we have to look at it that way so that we can make an informed decision on what we're doing. Then there's the other aspect of secondary gains. Primary gain, obviously, what it says. We do something, we get a direct gain from it. But then there are secondary gains, like the child who acts out because he doesn't get enough positive reinforcement or attention, so he acts out to get attention from his parents. Well, that's secondary gains. That what he really wants is attention from his parents, so he goes about it. Another example, the woman who stays in a toxic relationship because of the financial benefits of it, rather than, you know, it's a secondary gain. So if we're in a situation, we need to examine, are there any secondary gains? And you know, if we're dealing with a toxic relationship because of secondary gains, it's not healthy. Not healthy at all. So we need to work to resolve how we will work ourselves out of that and into a better situation in life.
You know, I might say that sometimes what we think we have to have or the goal we need to reach is so big that we don't go there because it's just too big. So I'm in favor of trading up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like trading up one thing at a time. Can I give up this little thing to get that little thing? You know, this little thing. Even if someone, and hear me clearly, if there's anyone out there who's listening, who is in an uncomfortable relationship, and even if it's uncomfortable, let's say you're fearful of being more truthful with your partner or, you know, speaking your mind and you don't feel good about yourself when you're in their company, then I'm going to suggest that you just trade a bit of time to do something good for yourself because you need to feel good again. So it's just not saying you have to leave the relationship and be extreme in the moment, but once you start knowing what that feel good is, then you'll start to know what to dream toward again. So take that bit of it, a bit of time. So that's trading up. The time that you may have, you know, been cleaning the house madly and making sure everything's in order, take 10 minutes and go do something kind for yourself. Indulge a little bit and feel good. So trade it up. And I'm really not opposed to, you know, if even things that seem negative, like who cares if somebody smokes? Like, who cares? Like, everybody get perspective. You know, it's not about quitting this and making sure you do that and being, you know, pure and healthy. Just give up a burger once a week, you know, so you trade up. You know, give up the burger and have some chicken. Or don't go to the fast food place and, you know, pick up a salad. I'm just saying trade up and just do it even in small increments. Because the gain is the feel. And the feel then, you know, is encouraging toward new and better goals for yourself. And again, it's a very individual experience. So trade it up.
All right. So if anyone would like a card pulled, now's the time to jump in the chat room and say something. And we'll pull a card. We're going to pull one or two more and then start wrapping it up. So
I love pulling cards for people. Anybody who wants one.
Go ahead and let's pull one.
Bridget.
Okay.
Energy signature. I don't know if we've pulled that one for a while. It's number 26. Energy signature for Bridget here. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature. So that's a little message there for you if you relate to it, Bridget. You know, maybe it's just a situation. Maybe it's a dynamic of some kind. Maybe it's just even a thought. You know, it's just know the energy signature and give it a little change up.
All right, let's do another one. Let's do Dr. Dan.
Dr. Dan, Good to have you with us, Dr. Dan, again. Deliberate intent, number 20. Of course, we know what that is. I'll read it anyway. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience. So I expect that you in some way can relate to that, Dr. Dan, and some effort that you're doing right now. It's that being really focused on it. So that's a reinforcement.
Let's go to Errol.
Hello, Errol. Good to have you with us tonight also. Oh, the unknowable. You know, we have pulled this before. It really is one of my favorite cards. Number 4 of the wild card suit. There are mysteries in the universe, Errol. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent. See, there we go again. Deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Now remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you will change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change. So that's for you. Anything is possible for you right now, Errol. Just, you know, be open-minded. Don't necessarily go by your mental frame of reference for what you're familiar with, but open to all possibilities. I love that card. I think that's so exciting. I like change. You know, a lot of people are opposed to change. I like change. I like to see what's going to happen next. I wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm still here. Oh, well, I wonder what today will bring. You see, it's that acknowledging where I am and, okay, now what? Because I have no idea what the next day is going to bring. It's exciting.
All right. Next up is Nate, I believe.
Hello, Nate. All right. Nate, you get empowerment. That's a little message for you, Nate. Number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution and principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. Taking back your power, knowing who you are. You know, and we all need to check in with ourselves from time to time. So, you know, just know that this isn't necessarily a you thing, but it just might mean that at this particular moment, it's a good time to really center, take a deep breath, and re-empower yourself.
And taking your power back also means protecting your boundaries in a healthy way.
Absolutely.
And basically standing up on your own 2 feet, knowing who you are and why you are who you are. So next one is Dr. Shirley.
Hello, Dr. Shirley. Inspiration, motivation, number 45. That's a good one. We were just talking about inspiration this morning, in fact. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. So inspiration and motivation come from hope. Always be hopeful.
Good. And then the last one, I believe, is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. Good to have you with us again today. Paradox. Oh, that's a good one. Paradox, number 1 in the wild card suit. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. That's what I love about a paradox, you know. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and way of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered. It's a good one. I like it. You might want to just throw in what contrarian thinking is, Dr. Kelly, if you would.
I would. Contrarian thinking is simply that. It's being contrary and not in a you know, defiant way or anything like that. It just means to think outside the box. It means, I call it the 180 principle. It's like when you're trying to solve a problem, you entertain and explore what should I not do to solve this problem. If there was nothing to hold me back, what would I do to solve this problem? And it's there's a great example in the little booklet called U Squared by Price Pritchard, I think, is a company, and it's about the fly at the window. You know, we've all seen flies at the window. And the fly will buzz at the window until it literally drops dead on the window pane. And it's interesting to note that all that fly had to do was turn around 180 degrees and fly out through the open door behind it. So the point is sometimes the solution you're looking for lies in a place that you don't think it is. Sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. It was not in the belief system of that fly to turn around and go in an opposite direction. It was counterintuitive almost. It's like, here's the window. I can see the outside, but I can't get to it. And yet we're like that fly sometimes. We think we're looking at this in the right direction, but there's something in our way. When we can't go through it, we got to go around it. So that's what contrarian thinking is. It means to be creative in your thinking.
You know, we do have one more request from Sally. And while you were talking, I took the liberty of drawing a card for Sally. It's number 31, Sacred Obligations. And, you know, in some way, I think Sacred Obligations, although it's for you, Sally, I think it does really tie into how we began this evening, you know, talking about one planet. And we all have to remind ourselves of this little card. So however you can relate to this, Sally, here's what it says. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, and evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness. Promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations. And I think that's a wonderful way to end our evening and talking about how we all have this. You know, we all are obligated to be the very best we can, to raise our own standards of ourselves, and to remind ourselves what it is to be a human being and that we're all in this together. You know, none of us goes anywhere without the other, really, when you think about it. We're just all inching along competing. That doesn't work. We kind of check in and know that we are all in this together. But control only what we can. And that's probably a message in there for you, Sally. We only control what we can. Other things are not in our control.
That's good. A good card. And, you know, there's a lot of different sacred obligations. There's five in particular that the church highlights. Number one, do no harm, do right. Number two, reclaim your power. Number three, attune your life leadership paragon. That means bring the elements of the life leadership paragon into their proper order. Number four, pay it forward. Number five, deliver your greatness. And that's what we can all do every day. Even in little ways, we can deliver our greatness. And that's a sacred obligation. So be who you are. Walk your own path. We talked about racism and intolerance, and there is no tolerance for intolerance, right? We talked about that during this program. We talked about balance and order. We talked a little bit about spiritual retreats. We talked about a number of different things. And we appreciate your time tonight, everyone. We appreciate the time that you take to listen to this program every week, and we hope that you'll recommend it to others and let them know about it as well, because this is healthy stuff. This is stuff that will help you to be even more successful in your life and in your relationships, and that's what we're doing it for. If you'd like to learn a lot more about all these topics that we've been talking about in all these programs, then I encourage you to enroll in one of our degree programs, either at metaphysicsinstitute.org or Thomas Francis University, which is tfuniversity.org, or take a single course on one of these topics, because they will change your lives. Our programs change lives. They do. We've heard it over and over and over and over and over again, and it's healthy stuff. It's not just somebody's ideas. It's really, truly proven healthy stuff. So anyway, I hope you'll do that. Next week we'll have another program with similar topics. We again appreciate everyone being here. Thanks to Michael Kelly for producing the show. Thanks to Dr. Hunter for being here with me, and hope everyone has a good week. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.